Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 102. It is September 21st, 2020. The idea of socialism is at once grandiose and simple. We may say, in fact, that it is one of the most ambitious creations of the human spirit, so magnificent, so daring, that it has rightly aroused the greatest admiration. If we wish to save the world from barbarism, we have to refute socialism, but we cannot thrust it carelessly aside. Ludwig von Mises. This book argues that our civilization depends not only for its origin, but also for its preservation, on what can precisely be described only as the extended order of human cooperation, an order more commonly, if somewhat misleadingly, known as capitalism. To understand our civilization, one must appreciate that the extended order resulted not from human design or intention, but spontaneously. It arose from unintentionally conforming to certain traditional and largely moral practices, many of which men tend to dislike, whose significance they usually fail to understand, whose validity they cannot prove, and which have, nonetheless, fairly rapidly spread by means of an evolutionary selection. The comparative increase of population and wealth of those groups that happened to follow them, the unwitting, reluctant, even painful adoption of these practices kept these groups together, increased their access to valuable information of all sorts, and enabled them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. This process is perhaps the least appreciated facet of human evolution. Socialists take a different view of matters. They not only differ in their conclusions, they see the facts differently. That socialists are wrong about the facts is crucial to my argument, as it will unfold in the pages that follow. I'm prepared to admit that if socialist analyses of the operation of the existing economic order and of possible alternatives were factually correct, we might be obliged to ensure that the distribution of incomes conformed to certain moral principles, and that this distribution might be possible only by giving a central authority the power to direct the use of available resources, and might presuppose the abolition of individual ownership of means of production. If it were, for instance, true that the central direction of the means of production could affect a collective product of at least the same magnitude as that which we now produce, it would indeed prove a grave moral problem how this could be done justly. This, however, is not the position in which we find ourselves, for there is no known way, other than by the distribution of products in a competitive market, to inform individuals in what direction their several efforts must aim so as to contribute as much as possible to the total product. The main point of my argument, then, is that the conflict between, on the one hand, advocates of the spontaneous, extended human order created by a competitive market, and on the other hand, those who demand a deliberate arrangement of human interaction by central authority based on collective command over available resources, is due to a factual error by the latter about how knowledge of these resources is and can be generated and utilized. As a question of fact, this conflict must be settled by scientific study. Such study shows that by following the spontaneously generated moral traditions underlying the competitive market order, traditions which do not satisfy the canons or norms of rationality embraced by most socialists, we generate and garner greater knowledge and wealth than could ever be obtained or utilized in a centrally directed economy whose adherents claim to proceed strictly in accordance with, quote, reason. Thus, socialist aims and programs are factually impossible to achieve or execute. And they also happen, into the bargain as it were, to be logically impossible. This is why, contrary to what is often maintained, these matters are not merely ones of differing interests or value judgments. Indeed, the question of how men came to adopt certain values or norms and what effect these had on the evolution of their civilization is itself, above all, a factual one, one that lies at the heart of the present book and whose answer is sketched out in its first three chapters. The demands of socialism are not moral conclusions derived from the traditions that formed the extended order that made civilization possible. Rather, they endeavor to overthrow these traditions by a rationally designed system, moral system, whose appeal depends on the instinctual appeal of its promised consequences. They assume that, since people had been able to generate some of the rules coordinating their efforts, they must be able to design an even better and more gratifying system. But if humankind owes its very existence to one particular rule-guided form of conduct of proven effectiveness, it simply does not have the option of choosing another merely for the sake of the apparent pleasantness of its immediately visible effects. The dispute between the market order and socialism is no less than a matter of survival. To follow socialist morality would destroy much of present humankind and impoverish much of the rest. All right, this is the introduction of the introduction to Hayek's The Fatal Conceit, The Errors of Socialism. It's a great book. I'd love to sit here and just read the whole thing out loud. It's too long to ever read the whole thing, even in parts. I suppose I could do it for, you know, weeks and weeks here. But you can see sort of what he's setting up here. And the quote from Mises at the beginning, from von Mises, is interesting. That socialism does have wide appeal. It seems on its face to be great. Doesn't ever really work out that way. Part of the mystifying problem, too, these days is we don't live in any kind of competitive market. There's already so much lockdown control, fiefdoms assigned by fiat. And here in the United States, at least, we keep centralizing power, moving more and more of it to D.C., moving more and more of it into the executive branch. And that's a real risk. I want to get more into von Mises and Hayek and all of that in these dispatches. One of the things, too, he also points out later in this introduction, and then has a chapter later in the book, is about how socialists degrade the consistent meaning of terms. That's actually a strategic process. It's misdirectional. And so we can also see that playing out all over the place. It's interesting stuff. And inside this, quote, capitalist system, we also just have grave problems. Central authority is commanding how these resources are allocated all too often, without perhaps taking ownership of the means of production in that classical sense, but nonetheless, providing legal rackets to people of all sorts, bailing out people unnecessarily. And it, of course, leads to massive amounts of resentment and the appeal of socialist redistribution picks up. I would say also, too, that talking about central control versus spontaneous extended human order, I mean, that all of this, too, is just seems so intertwined with the educational system and the media system. I really appreciate how Hayek's pointing out here that this spontaneous extended human order is wonderful for not just producing wealth, but producing knowledge. And so that gives me, I guess hope, even in the face of an interesting period of time. Socialism on the march. I haven't spent much time in the dispatches talking about currency and monetary policy and that kind of thing, but I think we have to get back there at some point. Because by having a fiat currency, we've turned every problem into a political problem. And it's hard to have the political will to say, no, why can't we just solve this problem with money? Let's go print this money or borrow it or create it. Paper over these problems. And as with sort of forest management, it's not necessarily the best way. So, just putting a new thing in the water here. did get up crazy early today, but it took the alarm clock. I didn't wake up on my own. Looks like it's going to rain. I think it's already raining a little bit. Hope you'll have a good week, and talk with you tomorrow.